Hi and welcome to the About Her show. I am Sangeeta Relan, an educationist, a writer and a lifelong learner. I also run an e-magazine for women. This podcast is about trailblazing women and their journeys. Women who have broken many a barrier, many a stereotype to realize their potential. If they can do it, so can you. This week we have the pleasure of speaking with Gagan Singh, former CEO of Benetton India and a trailblazing philanthropist. Gagan's journey embodies the belief in unwavering determination, urging us to pursue our dreams with confidence and resilience. She shares insights on taking risks, seizing opportunities, and asserting our worth as women. Get ready to be inspired as we delve into Gagan's remarkable journey and glean invaluable wisdom from her experiences. So hi, Gagan, and welcome to the About Her show. I mean, finally, I managed to get hold of you.
Thank you. I wasn't playing hard to get.
I know.
It's just that you travel a lot and, sort of all around and all. So I'm glad it's happened. Eventually.
I know, so am I. So this is a show, as you know, where we get women achievers, who we call women trailblazers, to share the story of their lives with us. You know, tell us about their ups and downs, challenges that they may have faced along the way. The idea is not only to, you know, get them a platform to talk about their journey, but along with that, there are so many women out there who want to do something with their lives, but for some reason or the other, they're not able to do it. So I just feel that when we relate, you know, stories of women who have followed their dreams and passions and ambitions and done something out of those, then somebody out there may just get inspired and, you know, get out of whatever is holding them back to realize their potential. And of course, eventually we want to build a community of women who are there to support, help, empower, mentor each other. So that's the whole
idea. Very important.
So as I said, a very, very warm welcome to you. And
thank you.
You're welcome. So let's get started. So just like an icebreaker, tell us a little bit about your early life, your childhood. And if you think that any of those experiences from those days, you know, have left a mark on you and kind of helped you become what you are today.
Well, I think if I think of my childhood, I grew up in Bombay. I did my studies, school, college, and most of my chartered accountancy I completed in Bombay. My cost accountancy also I completed in Bombay. I just completed my CA after I got married and I came to Delhi.
Okay.
Coincidentally, in my husband's firm where he was a partner.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was the last bit of my CA. But I think what stood me in good stead from my childhood has been the softer issues, the importance of punctuality, the importance of discipline, the importance of transparency, integrity. Mm-hmm. Those are the things which have stood me in good stead. And a trait which I carry forward from my childhood to now is to be busy.
Okay.
Is to be constantly doing something.
Hmm.
So, you know, that's something that's been a common thread through my life. And another thing is, I think being busy and adding value, doing something meaningful.
Yeah.
I think that's been the common thread for me right through.
Okay. That is actually so important. I mean, you can be busy, but if you're not adding value, then I guess it's of no use. So yeah, that is something, it totally resonates with me, because I feel, you know, it should be productively busy. You should be doing something.
Yes.
You get something out of it, some kind of satisfaction.
Yeah.
So when you were growing up, did you have any aspirations? Was there something or some profession or somebody who you felt you wanted to be like, and a childhood idol maybe?
So strangely enough, Sangeeta, till my high school, I had this image of me with a jura at the nape of my neck, with a crisp cotton sari, waiting for my husband to come home. I had no career ambitions at all till I'd finished school or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But in college, but At the same time, the contradiction is I didn't do arts. I took commerce because I thought commerce se kuch ho sakta hai. And I didn't do science. I didn't do science because I said the studies take too long, so I'll get late getting married. So I was quite a hodgepodge of things, you know. But I constantly met people who encouraged me and pushed me. And somewhere in college, I developed the career ambition in first or second year. It's that when I knew I had to stand on my own feet. I'm the fourth of four children. At that time, my father's business, which was doing very well earlier, collapsed. Things were not so great, and I wanted to be independent. I was very clear I have to be financially independent. So all those things put together led me to a career thing. But it's actually one thing leading to another that made me do it. I think I'll disappoint people, but I'll be truthful that I had no clear career plan or ambition that I want to do it. It's just things happened, met the right people at the right time, they pushed, they nudged, and I followed a certain path, which I don't regret. I don't regret.
But that's like, I think, true of a lot of women, a lot of girls in our country. I mean, initially, early on, why girls? I think a lot of people are not very clear about what they want to do. It's only by and by, as they kind of, move ahead in life, that things start getting clearer. And maybe with exposure and meeting people or reading or whatever, you get to know what are the various options. So, yeah, I guess, I mean, with most of us, it happened like that. So then tell us a little bit about your career. So you did your CA, you did your cost accountancy, and what then after that?
I started with finance, but you see, my father was a businessman, and as I said, I needed to be busy. So even in my school days, I would go with him on weekends to his office and his factory. And I would, to keep busy, not out of career ambition, I used to help with things. So I knew how a store worked, what is a bin card, what is in, what is out, how to do it. So I was attuned to business, though with no career ambition, but I was familiar with it. So even when I finished my CA, I wanted to be not restricted to finance and get into general management. And I was lucky. I started my career in Delhi. It was a culture shock getting married and coming to Delhi. It was a huge shock. This is 45 years ago. I think I must have been the only woman CA and cost accountant in Delhi at that time. And no one was willing to give a job because Delhi was a liaison city. It was the license raj. And they couldn't imagine a woman doing it. So I couldn't get a job. And it was very difficult. And when I finally got a job with Ranbaxy and they paid well, I was willing to work for free because it was quick. Koi to kaam de do. I just wanted to keep busy and use my qualifications. It was that bad. Delhi is a very different city now, But 45 years ago, compared to Bombay, it was way behind, especially with women working and professional. So that was a tough start. So I started with finance and then Ranbaxy, and then we moved to Nepal for 14 years, and that's where I got into general management. I was, in finance doing management accounting, budgeting, but I was running a small company off the group. And that's how I gradually got into general management, project management, etc. Came back. 14 years in Nepal was like working in an incubator. It's so small. It's like being in a laboratory. It's all fantastic. The value and the learning was tremendous because we worked for the largest and the most respected conglomerate of the country. And again, here I was working with my husband. We were both very senior in the same organization, which was again unusual. So coming back to India just after the IT boom had started was a big shock for us because India had exploded. The a tech boom had happened, and it was a different country from the one we left 15 years ago, even though we were next door, just an hour flight away. But I found my feet a slightly difficult way, but I kept getting thrown into the deep end and surviving. I learned a lot. It was like trial by fire. I worked with a part of the DCM group, which owned Benetton. And the company had a lot of issues. So I was cleaning up a lot of stuff. And then I ran Benetton for, I was in Benetton for 5 years. And I ended up as the CEO of Benetton. And that was, again, a very interesting journey, where it was a joint venture between 50-50 between Benetton Italy and their DCM Bharatram Group, Vivek Bharatram Group. And it was during my stewardship that it became a 100% subsidiary of Benetton. And the Bharatram Group was bought over, though I was Bharatram's nominee. So that was an interesting phase. I learned a lot. I had to take very tough calls, but then I carried on as the chief executive and left them in 2017. Then I did 10 years with Jones Lang LaSalle, which was fantastic, the best years of my career. It was very, very rewarding, satisfying, motivating, extremely nice. And eventually I took a call and exited a job in 2017, and now I do consultancy, etc. But for the past 17 years, I've been involved with board positions also.
So very interesting, like for someone who didn't know what she was going to do. And I think, like you said, you wanted to get married and you're the cotton sari and all that to where you are now. That's so interesting and so inspiring. Because, when you think about it, imagine a young girl listening to this conversation, you actually feel that, the world is your oyster. You can do anything you want. Of course.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the thing is to seize an opportunity and not get scared and take the risk. I think that's what's important.
And whatever
That's very important.
challenges come your way, just kind of, catch the bull by the horns and just do it.
Yeah, sometimes I think for me, what applies is fools enter spaces which devils, which angels fear to tread, because I just get into spaces, but I've been very lucky I've survived.
That's inspiring.
No, survived and come out winning, so that's been nice. So it's led one thing to another. So having courage and depending on common sense and the discipline, the various values you work by, that really helps.
So tell me something. Of course, you've already mentioned that the transition from Bombay to Mumbai to Delhi was a huge thing and it was a big cultural shock and all of those things. So, of course, this must have been a very big challenge for you. But other than that, were there other challenges that you faced? And in particular, because you were a woman, and like you said, Delhi was, but were there any really specific instances where you had to face gender discrimination, so to say?
Initially when I joined Ranbaxy, see, I was the first woman they had in finance. So the finance department was not used to a woman around.
I'm sure.
So it wasn't as if they all came and became friends straight away. Everyone kept their distance, and I had to make the move. And eventually, within a few months, we were all fine. But initially, I could have withdrawn into my shell and pretended as if I don't want anyone talking to me. But you got to, put yourself out there and become friendly and talk to them, and it worked out. So, and also we had the leader makes a big difference. So the general manager of finance of Ranbaxy at that time, and it was a great company at that time. I know there are lots of, negative sort of stories about it now. It was a great company at that time, and the general manager of finance made sure that I was welcome. So, but you have to prove your worth.
Of course, of
You
course.
have to, as a woman, you start at a negative. You start with some doubts and all. So you have to prove your worth. So that's That's very important, and that stays. Otherwise, except for when I was looking for a job where gender bias came in, where the answer would be clearly, we don't think a woman can handle this job. You know, those were the answers. But after that, luckily, I've always been either a big fish in a small pond, or I've grown enough to become a bigger fish in a biggish pond. So I've been at senior positions, and then gradually you build your track record. So that gives you credibility, and that gives you, the pushes away that kind of discrimination. So I haven't really faced it as such, but I know it exists.
Yeah, it does. It does.
I know it exists while you're hiring good people, and I know it in conversations with leaders, you know, when they're choosing candidates and the kind of thoughts that go through their head. That exists, and unconsciously or consciously, the biases exist, and some are open about it, some are not, and it takes a lot of work.
Yeah, it does. It does. But I think, you know, of course, they exist, and it will take a lot of time for us to kind of, you know, get over them or to do away with them. But I think women also have an integral role to play in this, in the sense that, yes, first you get that foot in the door, but then you've also got to work hard to prove your worth. You know, you cannot, you know, prove to people that you're only here because you're a woman and then you don't do anything about it. You know, you have to work hard and you have to prove that you are capable and you have the ability to be there. You know, you deserve where you are to be there.
These days, women face the challenge of proving that they are there, not just because they are a woman. During my time, there was no reservation or any such thing. So you weren't hired because of a woman. So you had to say that I'm good even though I'm a woman.
Okay.
Not because I'm a woman.
Because I'm a
it
woman.
Was even though I'm a woman, I show you I can work as hard, travel as much, and be as open in my communication, or confront issues, or be principled, or be as professional as the males, or better. So that is a challenge all through. As you get senior, you know, having a track record and having a reputation behind you really helps.
Yeah,
but the start is always tough, and every sort of every step up the ladder, you have to be, prove your worth. But men do too. Women at the start have a tougher time, always.
I agree. So tell me, based on your experience, and of course, you know, what is going around even now, if a young girl today were to wanting to become a part of the corporate world, are there any tips that you would like to share? Maybe just 2-3 tips on what it takes to succeed in the corporate world.
Well, I will contradict what most people say, and I say don't get into politics at all. Stay apolitical, because I don't know. I cannot indulge in politics at all. So I will just kill myself if I do it, and it will never. But work hard. Don't expect favors just because you're a woman, unless a certain circumstance requires it.
Yeah.
But don't take advantage of the fact that, you know, you can get special favors because you're a woman. But work hard, and compete with yourself. Don't compete with others. It's very important for women, because our phases of life are very different, and we can, you know, sort of demotivate ourselves by competing with others, who may be men, maybe other women whose circumstances are different. It's best to compete with oneself, that am I doing better than I expected to, or am I doing as well as I can? And that's important, because we juggle a lot. So
but that's true. I feel you should always compete with yourself, because that's
absolutely
best parameter. I mean, other people, like you said, their circumstances could be different. They are different.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
You know, like apples and oranges. So why compare apples with oranges? Okay. So Gagan, on a regular day when you're not working and Okay, when you don't feel like working and don't feel like doing anything on a particular day, it's one of those low days. So how do you kind of pep yourself up? Because women do have, days when you are like, not that men don't, but women, I think, have more reasons sometimes, because of families, children, or even other, issues with us. So what do you do to maybe stay the course or, like I said, pep yourself up?
You know, when I've always enjoyed work so much, so I've very rarely needed prepping up at work, but I did at one stage. I'll tell you about that. But when home becomes gives you a downer or something, rush to work. I think it's always been a big relief to get away from home when things are not going well. Because you get into work, that's the best pep me up, because there's so much to do and there's, it's a good environment and you meet people. But I did, in fact, it was in Benetton and that's why I left. I did have a boss who, not because I was a woman, he was just, nature was such that he was a horrible boss. He thrived on demeaning people, humiliating people and everything. And that was extremely demotivating. And work did lead to a low, it was, one did go through very low times. And I think you've got to find it in yourself to look at the positives. For me, one is I'm very resilient and I always see a glass as half full. I do not focus on the empty. I mean, I focus on the what's full and what can make it fuller. And that sees me through life. Being resilient and counting your blessings and thinking of the positives and capitalizing and building on those are what is what's seen me through life and all its ups and downs and phases and everything.
I think staying positive, is, I think, very, very crucial, because like I also feel that if there is a downhill, there's got to be an uphill. So just focus on the uphill. So, if you like the glass being, half full, that is what is going to, kind of get you up and running.
Yeah.
Tell me this experience with your boss. So what did it teach you?
It also taught me patience, and I didn't just leave. I left when the right opportunity came, though I knew that with him around, it's not going to work for long. I love the brand. I love the team I was leading. But even having a visitor once a month who demolishes you for 3 days is bad, and you don't need it. And he had an effect which lasted in me. He shattered my self-confidence for almost 2 years. And and it came back after 2 years. So I think I lasted too long. I should have exited earlier, but I just think I'm old-fashioned. I didn't want to leave with nothing in hand. And my husband had just started a business. So in a way, I was running the family. You're always balancing everything. And I let it affect me. Maybe if I was advising someone else now, as I was just last week, I'd say, get out. Do something to get out. Okay. It's not good. An environment that makes you shrink, that demolishes you or demotivates you, is bad for your health, bad for your self-confidence, is bad for your personal life. One should get out of it. I learned that.
That's a huge learning, because, sometimes when we are in the situation, just for the sake of sticking it out, we don't realize how, in the long run, it may affect our mental well-being,
How much we are damaging ourselves. And I realized it, and fortunately, maybe some of the tablets I have now are a result of that. But I know the day when I got him out of my system. I was in Singapore and I did something very well, and I came home and I told my husband, I said, now he's out of my system.
Great.
So that's how corrosive negative leaders can be.
It can be.
And they say, Gallup says, you leave a manager, you don't often, you mostly research shows that people leave managers and not organizations.
Organizations, true, true.
Yeah.
So tell me, any piece of advice that you would like to give to young girls of today who are on the verge of their personal and professional lives? It could be in terms of financial independence, emotional independence, or whatever you think is are the things which they should keep in mind. Say, you know, somebody who's 18 or 19 or maybe 20 years old.
I think financial independence is absolutely essential so that you're not compromising in life just because you're not financially independent. I have two daughters and we made sure of that because all your decisions in life should be based, can be logical and correct only if you're financially independent.
Okay.
Otherwise, you get compromised. So that is important. And the other thing is, there's such a variety of jobs open now. Our age was different. Do something you love so that you get up in the morning and you're excited about work. That's very, very important. Choose a career or choose a company, choose a career that you enjoy going to, are excited about, because there's the biggest success factor is passion. And you'll have passion in work only if you really like what you're doing.
That's
And
true.
It shouldn't be. And many of us can get into a privileged positions where we are the second earners in a family and it's not, we are not putting food on the table. So we can spoil ourselves and actually make sure we make a correct decision and do something we really like.
Yeah.
Unlike men who are perceived the traditionally the bread earners, they sometimes have to compromise. If we are the second, earner, not always, but
yeah.
if we are, then we can afford to, you know, compromise a bit on other aspects, but do something we really enjoy.
Yeah.
That's very, very important. And I think the other thing is, I know Gen Z and all, there's a lot of focus on quality of life and, you know, everything. But I think hard work at the start of one's life really pays back.
Yes. There is no substitute for that. You can't
Yeah.
see that. I think hard
Yeah.
work never goes out of fashion.
Absolutely. Hard work and working with the right values.
Yeah.
No compromising on that. That's very, very important.
That's
But the world is their oyster these days. The girls have so many opportunities. And I think as women grow, it's connected with that. They have to realize that they have to be role models for younger generations. That's all of us have that.
Yes.
We have to be great role models because that's the only way we will encourage other women to grow, not drop off when they have children and go through that tough time, keeping the long run in mind. And the other thing for women is please find supportive families. Get married to people who are supportive and who will encourage you. Otherwise,
yeah.
you'll be very sad. You'll
Yes.
say it's not going to work.
That
So
is
get supportive families. That's very, very important. And it's critical if you want to have a family and, you know, do everything. You can't have it all, but if you want almost all, having a supportive family is very, very important.
I agree. Because
the other thing is doing what you like and having pride in your work.
Yes.
Because that's very important. If you go to a dinner or something, men will ask each other, what are you doing? A woman will very rarely get asked, what are you doing? Right? But you have to be proud about what you're doing so that you can talk about it and also go home and talk about it to a mother-in-law, a father-in-law, mother, father, so that they get pride in what you're doing. So they don't think you're running away to work only to run away from cooking and running the house.
Yeah.
So having pride in what you're doing is very important apart from doing something you enjoy. That's important.
But that is something, you know, I think a lot of women fall short when it comes to taking pride. You know, we just kind of just like, you know, just maybe just hide behind the, I don't know, husband or whatever it is. We don't like to talk about it, you know. And even if somebody were to talk about it, we are kind of, you know, like a little embarrassed. Okay, fine, don't say, you know. that sort of a thing. But I think you're right. We need to take pride, because if we don't, who else is going to? Yeah.
Absolutely. And I mean, don't go out with a banner or something.
No.
But talk about, don't hesitate to talk about it. And let the husband be so proud that he also talks about what his wife does.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
So like, yes, you have to do it yourself first. And then, you know, like, I guess others will follow suit in that manner. So tell me, like you said, you go to a party and it's normally the men who get asked what they are doing. So has that changed over the years? I mean, is the world more open towards accepting and celebrating successful women?
There has been a significant change for sure, but there's miles to go. There's a long, long way to go. And so, Sangeeta, the exposure you and I get is to such a thin slice of what the rest of the corporate world is. You know, like I've been privileged to work in very organized and professional companies, or at least companies conscious of the fact that they need to get professional. But you go down to, you know, less professionalized companies, or which are more, I don't want to use the term, mom and pop operations or family. It's got a long way to go.
Yes,
I profile one woman every month, like you do, but younger women.
Okay.
And let's say 70, and I profile 20 to 28, 30-year-olds.
Okay.
And 75% of the girls I profile were brought up to think of having a career.
Okay.
Or were told that you got to stand on your feet. That's a big change.
That's a
and
big
I'm talking of children brought, girls brought up, not in the metros, in some part of Orissa, some part of UP, some part of, you know, Bengal or Maharashtra, tier two, tier three cities. They were brought up to think of careers.
Okay, that's actually heartening.
So there is a change. There is a change for sure.
So Gagan, there is a phenomena that I notice around me, which I like to term as midlife rebooting, where people in their early 40s, 50s, you know, are switching careers. You know, they're starting to do things which are completely opposite to what they were doing earlier. They may continue doing what they were doing earlier. Some cases they may not, but they are taking to other things, like, you know, a doctor, right, starting to, you know, wanting to become an author, or somebody writing poetry, somebody going hiking, biking, whatever. So, you know, so many things which people are doing other than what they were trained to do. So what do you have to say?
I think it's fantastic. But I think even through life, one has to have other interests.
Yeah.
So, so just to talk of myself, I mean, I'm spending, from my college days, as I told you, I had to be busy. I had to be doing something useful. So being involved in a social cause is something I've had from my high school days.
Okay.
And
okay.
right through my life. Right through my life. So whether I was in Nepal, or whether in Delhi or in Bombay, like in my college days, I was the president of the Leo Club, which was the junior. So it's been part of my life. And I don't feel complete unless I'm part of a social cause. But now, so for the past 25 years, I've been a trustee of Salaam Balak Trust, right? We work with street children. But now that I have the time, and I became a trustee only after my younger daughter got into her grade 11, because I knew I'm going to be an empty nester soon, so I'd be able to give more time. Till then, I was just flirting with Salaam Balak, and then I became a trustee. I was refusing till then because I said, now I can spend more time. And now that I'm not in the corporate world, I am spending much more time, and I, you know, have more time to do it. Similarly, theater. Theater has been part of my life from my college days. In Nepal, we did a lot of theater, and it's carried on. Now it takes, I mean, one wants it to take a larger thing. I think the new thing that we're doing now, after hanging up our corporate boots, is travel. I travel a lot. And in fact, I took the call to get out of corporate life so that I could travel. It was a very conscious decision. So I think it's very important so that the crisis doesn't hit you when you're retiring or taking a step back, that what to do with your empty hours, because you should have enough interest to fill it. It could be bridge, it could be social work, it could be writing, it could be poetry, it could be anything. But one has to have interests to fill up the empty space. But I like to think that it should be our call when to create that empty space rather than it coming from somewhere. So, I mean, I've had the privilege of doing that. I've always decided when I moved from 100% to 50%, when I exited, I called the shots and said, I think it's time for me to do it. And it's good because then you leave on a high. It's no one wants you to exit. You don't have that baggage. So I think having multiple interests and making time for that in your daily life. I know it's very easy to say, sorry, I don't have the time, but it's possible, provided you have a supportive environment.
Of course.
That's very important. And, that's very important. But it's very important to have other interests other than work. Otherwise, the vacuum becomes, it can lead to a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, because if you remember, I mean, I do remember that like maybe 20, 30 years ago, people who, even maybe 10 years ago, people who retired from active work life, actually, had those withdrawal symptoms. They didn't know what to do with themselves. And nowadays, I think people are becoming aware. So before it actually hits them,
Yeah.
they are kind of taking on to other things, whatever they've wanted to do in life. And also, I think,
Yeah.
you have the ability. There's so much exposure. You see so many people doing so many different things. You can't be short of ideas, you can kind of.
Life has changed. Things have changed. If we compare how our parents live to how we live, it's very different. And I'm sure our children are going to lead totally different lives. I
I
don't
agree.
know whether they'll have such long careers or, whether they will wait to start other things in full earnest. It's a very, very fast developing and evolving situation. And with artificial intelligence, I don't know where we are headed. It's going to be interesting to watch what happens. And it's a very interesting time ahead.
That's true. That's true. So, Gagan, another thing which I feel women have to do more than men, which is to juggle different roles. And a lot of us struggle to juggle because, there are so many things, and sometimes you're just at sea, you don't know what to do, because there are too many things. So, is there any formula that you have developed, any secret recipe that you could share with us that, okay, this is how you should be juggling the different roles?
There's no formula, Sangeeta. I think everyone develops their own mechanism. It also depends on how your support system works, how much you can. But there's a book by Apurva Purohit which says, Lady, You're Not a Man, where she clearly, very clearly says that if one day the family eats Maggi noodles, it's okay. Don't take it on yourself that they ate Maggi noodles. If you can't do it, it's okay. So the point is, I think the ability to let go of something, you can't get a 10 on 10 in everything. It's all right to get a 10 somewhere and an 8 and a 7, but choose the priorities. And planning like hell. And again, it goes back to those childhood discipline. Having discipline makes a lot of difference. And I think women, because they juggle, are far more disciplined than men.
I
Because
agree.
we juggle so much, there is no choice but to be disciplined and to know when to do what. So I think it's just sharpening one's skills, but easier said than done. Also pay attention to oneself and do the things one likes. And each phase can be different. A phase when your children are growing up can be very challenging.
Yeah, true, true.
And you've got to let go a lot, and the support you need at that time is much, much more.
Yeah, I agree.
So each phase has its challenges, and each phase has to be tackled differently. And if your children are growing up and you have a demanding job and you have a husband who wants to party every night, it's not going to work.
It's not gonna work, right?
Somewhere one has to say no, or but again, the quality of the support system, that's why this is marry wisely.
Yeah.
Very important.
True, very true. That is true. But nonetheless, I think different stages, but like you said, planning and prioritizing, all these things are, they remain the same. You have, and also not trying to be a perfectionist all the time. These are
Absolutely.
which you have to keep
And
in mind.
that's something we all grapple with, and letting go is, you know, accepting it with a smile and saying, never mind, chalega, is something one has to develop and accept. And seeking help. I think another thing is seeking help and reaching out for help. It's no izzat ka sawal.
Yeah.
You know, we should seek help when we want it. And these, I'm saying things from what I've done wrong and realized that I was wrong. You know, one has done it and maybe suffered, but learned that it's all right to take help.
Yes. And
it's
one
all
should,
right.
I mean, why try to do everything? And in fact, then on the one hand, you're trying to be perfect and then you don't want to seek help. Then it's just going to be a big...
But that's another aspect of being perfectness, and it's that I can do it all. I don't need help. You're showing your vulnerability if you're asking for help.
Yes.
So
Yes.
be vulnerable. It's
Yeah.
all right to be vulnerable. You
Yeah.
know, that's very, very important. So
Yeah.
being human, being not being the superwoman, that picture image of everything happening, there's juggling. There's a lot of juggling, but prioritizing, being disciplined, and seeking help, all these things make a big, big difference.
I agree. I totally agree. And yes, these are things that you learn with time and age, but yes, we can definitely share
Yeah.
it.
So I think people like you and me, as we're saying, we've been through it, we've done that. It's very important we cascade this message down. For me, she for she is a very important thing. Not he for she, but she for she. We have to help women, and your objective of doing this is that.
Yes,
To
absolutely.
actually pass on the message and help women, because they are facing a tougher situation than we were. There are nuclear families. The demands are a lot. Yes, husbands have changed a lot. They do their share at home. They're increasingly doing it. And I'm noticing this in Indian husbands as well, you know, that they are sort of doing their bit. But we need to pass on this message and empower the women, make them feel guilt-free, because guilt is something a woman lives with through her life.
Yes,
You
yes.
know, guilty that I'm working, so I've got to make up by running a perfect home. Guilty that I'm not paying attention to my children enough, so I've got to sleep for 4 hours and still do their homework. It just goes on and on and on. So guilt is something we've got to learn how to manage. It
So
won't go away.
actually, like you said, that's the whole point of having this conversation, because, you know, we share our experiences and we are telling people, telling women that it's okay. You know, this is what we've gone through. You
It's
don't have
okay.
to go through the same thing. You know, you also become
We were
wiser.
the first batch.
Yeah. So you need to. So we are sharing our experiences and giving you the opportunity to take your pick and learn, you know.
Yep.
So Gagan, what are your
Absolutely.
future plans? Anything else that you still haven't been able to do in your life, that there are still some gaps? So maybe after 5 years, 10 years, you want to do?
My priority at the moment is live every day to the fullest and enjoy each moment. And I'm still associated with work, and I still have a board position and the Salaam Balak Trust. So life, as I say, I'm happily busy. And I have no fiery ambitions to do anything. I want to see more of the world, be there for my grandchildren, be there for my two daughters who are career women and need the support. So I'm the support system.
Wow. Yeah. So yes. So different stages require different things, and that's what you're doing.
Absolutely. 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 And
Okay.
enjoying it. No regrets.
That's the most important thing. Yes.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
my last and final question, can a woman have it all?
Yes, but it's not going to be a 10 on 10 for everything, but you have to give some, take some. But yes, if you really dream it and manifest it, it will happen. You can have it all, but there'll be some. It's not going to be 10 on 10.
No.
It's, yeah, but Yes, you can.
I
Why
mean, tomorrow,
not?
if you look back and you reflect and you say that, okay, I did a bit of everything, so I'm happy. So basically, knowing
Yeah.
what you want, and then, yeah, maybe like you were saying, not 10 on 10, but I did what I wanted to do. So I think, there
Yeah.
should be no regrets. So when I say have it all, I basically mean, being able to lead
Yes.
a life where you don't have any regrets,
And take control of your life. I think that's very important. Don't let anyone else control your life. That's very, very important. Stand for yourself. Therefore, be financially independent. Invest your own money. Learn how to invest your own money. But take control of yourself so that you don't know what life throws at you.
You
But
don't.
you should be ready for it all. That's very important.
That's true. That's true. So thank you so much. I
Thank
absolutely
you.
enjoyed having this conversation with you. I hope you enjoyed too. And I like
I
to,
have a friend.
I want to spread this word. I want more and more young girls, women in their 30s. I mean, I think in that, late 30s, early 30s is when the struggle actually begins with children and all, So that
Yes.
is when they need to kind of get a lot of these messages, that how they can carry on and whatever they are doing, 10 on 10, just keep doing it. So I think you've shared some wonderful insights, which of course need to be spread. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Indeed, wonderful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the About Her Show. We've had some interesting conversations with accomplished women on our other episodes, so make sure to check them out. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. Follow About Her on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And visit our website www.abouther.in for some wonderful content. And if you know of a trailblazing woman who you think would be a great guest on our show, please write to us at web.abouther@gmail.com.